You're listening to Urban Artists, Canada vs. US. We pose the question to Don Garbett. Why do you think it's difficult for a Canadian urban artist to be noticed on the world scene compared to an American urban artist? Don Garbett studied music theory at the Royal Conservatory of Music in York University. Don is an acclaimed electronic music artist, a published writer and member of the Perimeter Institute of Theoretical Physics. Don produced music in many studios in England, France, Canada, USA, and Germany. He toured Europe in the folk duo Skybo, provided technical support for Procol Harum, David Bowie, Pink Floyd, Oscar Peterson, Garth Hudson, Tragically Hip, and Lou Reed, amongst many others. He is a gold record producer and winner of a Juno Award in Canada for the Best New Artist, Keisha Shante, and was shortlisted for a Grammy Award in 6 categories in 2009. Let's hear what he has to say.
From what I can gather, first of all, even if you take urban out of the story, as a Canadian artist, I think it's always important to perform live, and I think that there are not enough venues in Canada, and you end up doing a lot of traveling to get your name out in the same way that you could do in a lot, in an area in the States where you could hit a lot more locations. But that's maybe too obvious an answer. Maybe less obvious would be that people seem to have this idea that Canada is kind of like a lightweight version of the United States, and that maybe you have to be from New York or LA to seem like the real thing. I don't know if that's really true because some people that have made it out of Canada are great original artists, like Maestro, I think, is a classic example of a guy who worked his bag off, did really original stuff, and got a lot of recognition for it. I think, ultimately the Canadians will go south anyway to mix with the audiences in the States. I don't have a real clear-cut answer for that. It just may be that people still have this idea that Canada doesn't have the same sort of gritty lifestyle that leads to the urban attitude. Who can say, really? Like, I used to work with artists in Brixton, and who would think that real solid Jamaican music is coming out of a place that far away in the middle of a city in London? Like, that's not at all like Jamaica, but some incredible stuff going on there, some great studios and great talent.
I think that's interesting what Don was saying. He pretty much agreed with Mr. Roper's point about there's significantly less venues in Canada. And it's funny, he said, what his answer paralleled with what Mr. Strickland said about the stigma, except for Mr. Strickland was saying that as Canadians we have the stigma that we're the little brother of New York or whatever, but Mr. Garbett was explaining that maybe other people around the world, or even in the States, don't view Canadian urban music as legit or as genuine because they're not from a grittier area, like you said, like New York or LA. He was talking about he had the same thing, the same type of reactions from people when he did reggae music in London, England. They figured, oh, this is far removed from Jamaica. How could it be? How could it be? Significant.
I also agree with Mr. Garbett's points. I also agree with Mr. Garbett's points. As he spoke about performing live, I believe that as an artist, you do have to perform live. If you can perform live and people like you, then, how hard can it be for you to produce your material and get it out there? People will be, dying for that. And to add to that point, too, about people perceiving Canada as a lightweight version of the States. Well, when you look at the history of Canada, just until 3 to 4 years ago did the violence in Canada really start to raise? And one would have to imagine why. You know, when I grew up, I grew up right away into the whole BET, Much Music atmosphere, and those were a lot of American, Northern American songs, music that was being portrayed, hardcore punk, Ludacris, and all these artists. And I didn't even know that hip hop. It's funny, I didn't know that hip hop even existed in Canada. You know, just until 4 or 5 years ago, I started to see that on Much Music they had Rhapsody played in the nighttime and on the internet now and everywhere now because of equipment costs and stuff like that. Everybody wants to be a rapper now. So it's a very odd way to look at, you know, one would have to wonder, is it the artists that want to be like the people in the States and be like that over here? Did Canada just start becoming more violent of a scene on its own, or because of the influence that America had? You know, I believe that there's a little part to play in both. I believe that as Canadians, the Northern American music lifestyle was flushed in terms of rap and hip hop. That style was flushed right to us. You know, and as I said, it wasn't until later that in the later years that Canada started to try and attempt bringing out these artists. Yes, there was artists around. There was Maestro, there was the Rascals.
Yeah, Shaw Clair,
you know, but nobody really knew of them until now. So,
yeah, with your point about the crime thing, I think it's stupid that has anything to do with music. Like, I understand, yeah, if you're going to be rapping again, or if your music content is going to be about, you know, stuff that happens in the street or crime or, you know, political, social issues, yes, it has to be true and you have to represent that. But at the same time, for you to not listen to good music just because it's not from a certain place is just ignorant. I think that's doing a disservice to the whole music industry.
Exactly.
And another thing you were saying about the you would only see the Canadian groups on at night, right? That's not prime time. Like, I know what you mean. Like, when I put on Much Music, anything during prime time was the big American videos that were huge already, getting big airplay, and then maybe they'd sneak one Canadian video in during the 6 to 8 p.m. slot. But all the more independent stuff was on at night when there wasn't as many people watching, right? That's when they had to fill their 35% Canadian content thing. The closed-mindedness has always been doing rap a disservice. Like, look what happened during the gangsta era of the early 90s. You had every friggin' record for like 6 years sounding like N.W.A., Tupac. Still you have, I can think of 25 rappers that rhyme exactly like Tupac, same cadence, same subject matter. And then the New York era too, when after the gangsta era kind of faded out, it went back to the New York era about the bling and the street and the hustle, and like, it's really holding rap back. Like, it's been around for what, over 35 years. It's been on record for 32 years since 79, and you listen to a song today, it's the same lyrical content and the same idea musically as it was in 79. You have a beat, you sample it, you add drums, and you rhyme about partying and stuff. And that's what I see today. Like, this closed-mindedness of having to fit this niche, this cutout of what rap is holding the music back big time. And you look at, like, rock music, look at how it progressed since it started, what, the late 40s or early 50s? And by the time it was the 80s, it had gone... It had changed drastically. So I think that mind state alone, the closed-mindedness is holding it back on a whole. So I can see how if you're from Canada, it could hold it back even more drastically.
Nobody really knows Canada's upbringing in the years before that led to where we, in the era we're living in now. you know, the States was getting the major exploitation. The States didn't even know anything about Canada.
Yeah.
When the States was really popping with their music, they were too busy into their own atmosphere.
They just knew that they could come to Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver on tours, and that's about it.
That's about it.
It was just a tour spot. I think all three of the people that we've interviewed, they've hit it dead on with the lack of venues, the stigma in Canada, and the stigma about Canada outside of Canada.
The stigma coming from an artist's point of view?
Artist's point of view and fans. And even like from both sides of the border, like a Canadian guy, I need to be more like this to break. And then an American artist or fan looking at, they need to be more like this for me to want to listen. So I think that hurts. That all hurts it a lot. That's it for this episode. Tune into next episode where we speak with Jermaine Jones, an urban artist manager from Toronto.